Chris Abraham Show.
Damn, it's super windy, guys. I think this is season 6, episode 15 of the Chris Abraham Show. Freaking windy. We'll see if, and it's cold now. It was so warm earlier. I might take advantage of Roger Roundy's ride home because it's getting colder and I might have to take off the hat I have on and put on my knit hat because it's windy. Maybe after I walk a while it'll get less windy. I have about 50 minute walk ahead of me to get to Lion Hall, which is a Belgian restaurant I'm completely not dressed for, but I dress for walkies and for comfort, and I'm wearing like black t-shirt, black sweatshirt, black shorts, wearing a crazy pair of I think it's like Florida Gators branded Nike Pegasuses, because, you know, at the end of the day, I get my Pegasus size 14s as cheaply as I can. For example, today a pair of Nike Pegasuses arrived from Nike.com, and they're model 40s, or the latest model, but they're branded for England, so they're English soccer / football brand, England, I guess the national team. And it's like, the color's really pretty. It's sky, the kind of sky blue, University of North Carolina Tar Heel blue, as they call it. So it's lovely. And I decided that since I was listening and working all day to the most droll podcast, that I couldn't really get into audiobooks because I needed to focus on work. Oh, and I got to see my favorite barista in the entire world, high school senior Claudia, who was studying. She's in her senior year. She just applied to Virginia Tech. She's dating a boy named Adis, and he's Ethiopian immigrant, and she's Hapa Haole, which means her, I think her mom is Haole, her mom is like white Caucasian, like white lady, and her dad is Costa Rican. So I should have told her pura vida today. That would have been funny. But she's fluent in Spanish, and anyway, she's a super cool girl. Oh, you notice that I was shaving, and I said that was because my buddy is calling me 75 and I'm only 53, even though Arlington County Parks and Rec thinks I'm 55 plus, thanks to the guy at I'm not gonna out him, the dude who signed me up. Lots of stuff about OpenAI, lots of stuff about, I wrote my funniest tweet today, I thought, was I called the left Schrodinger's woke, which is to say they hold a superposition. The Schrodinger's cat is in a superposition between being alive and dead based on the vial of poison. And the Schrodinger's woke for the left is this superposition between being anti-Israel or anti-Palestine or pro-Palestine or pro-Israel. So who knows? When the left collapses on itself, whether it'll be pro-Palestine or pro-Israel, it's really hard in the world to be perceived as anti-Semitic. So, and, you know, you would think that if you are, I mean, I hate to say this, because I'm a Judeo-Christian kind of guy, but in a world where all of your morals and ethics have to do with freedom of choice and freedom to be queer and trans and non-binary and gay and LGBTQIA+ and two-spirit and have pronouns and be able to choose your gender. In a world like that, I feel like Palestine is antithetical to that. So who knows? It's never stopped anybody's passion. Like, logic has nothing to do with passion, right? So we live in a world now where we are very anti-colonial. We're extremely anti-oppressor. We're extremely anti-Howley. And anybody who seems like they are in any type of Harlem or ghetto, be it George Floyd or 5,000 Palestinian babies, the nod is always going to be to the one who is actually verifiably more repressed, suppressed, depressed, compressed, and the only people on planet Earth that can be more oppressed than the Jewish people or whoever the Jewish people are perceived as oppressing. So there you go. So it's not about logic. It's about who's the most oppressed and who needs to be stood up for the most. And in 2023, Jewish folks are just perceived as white folks, and Jewish folks are just perceived as colonials and colonists and imperial and capitalistic. And even if there is a 100-year history, 200-year history of people of Jewish descent is actually creating, writing up, inventing, and developing the entire concept of Marxism, it doesn't matter if people find that you have expensive cars, expensive lives, expensive educations, expensive vacations, expensive clothing, if you have big houses, big families, big cars, if you don't have any debt, if you have whatever degree that you want, if you are unencumbered by issues of struggle, if you are, if you have or ever have had a trust fund, an inheritance, if you are or ever have been an heir, if you have salary jobs, if you're not afraid of retirement, if you can eat wherever you want, whatever you want, not including any restrictions that you have for being kosher or being vegan or whatever, but the ability to consume whatever you want, to choose whatever you want to do, to explore whatever you want to explore, and the freedom, if you have safety nets and so on and so forth, then you are by definition not the oppressed, you are the oppressor. So that's happening. So I don't even know what the superposition will collapse into. Will it collapse into pro-Israel or will it collapse into pro-Palestine? I remember when I was in my teens and early 20s, it was all about South Africa. I never heard the voice of the Afrikaners, of the Afrikaans, of the Dutch and German and even Jewish South Africans. And I never heard anything at all in popular culture ever from the farmers, the ranchers, the establishment, white people in government, the Afrikaners, I forgot there's other terms for them. I never heard their point of view. All I heard was Nelson Mandela. All I heard was Nelson Mandela. There was no other choice besides freeing Soweto and freeing integrating and getting rid they're not called ghettos, but they were called something else. But the entire narrative was dominated by black freedom in South Africa. It was ubiquitous. People all across the entire world were divesting. They were making they were forcing their universities to divest. They were forcing their companies to divest. They were forcing their unions to divest. They were forcing their banks to divest. There was a complete cataclysm of abandonment of any support of anything that was happening in South Africa and, you know, Rhodesia, which is Zimbabwe, and all the other colonized countries that had been led and ruled and dominated by the colonizers, literally colonizers from Great Britain and Germany and Belgium and Holland and Italy and so forth. And this was an extreme evolution, and it happened quickly. And when the banks bailed, then everything fell apart. And even though the outcome wasn't good for anybody, most of the ranches and most of the farms went to seed. There wasn't the kind of handoff that was remotely consistent. There was always a lot of miscommunication and corruption, and there was a lack of education, there was a lack of training. There was a lot of animus between the Boers, or something. There's a lot of animus between the Boers or the Afrikaans or whatever they were called, the people who speak Dutch, Afrikaans, and the black people from South Africa, that instead of trying to find an amicable way, it turned into being very violent, lots of killing, lots of death, lots of those kind of things. So that is probably the fate of Israel if anybody decides to formally divest, and if anybody starts to abandon Israel. You know, once the rats start leaving, all the rats leave, and once the collapse starts to happen, it happens really quick, and Israel will cease to exist in any meaningful way without the complete commitment of Great Britain and the United States. There's no other way that Israel can, you know, pay for the Iron Dome. There's no way that there can be the kind of continued upkeep of such an expensive and small place. So it's very important that all energies with regards to the United States and Western Europe and the northern countries and so forth, and countries that have any connection to people who live in Israel, it behooves them to do whatever it takes to discredit, destroy, undermine, kill, wound, destroy careers, ruin people's lives, anything possible in order to kind of continue the movement towards, you know, controlling the narrative in such a way that the West wouldn't dare cut and run the way we are doing with Ukraine. Ukraine has always been a patsy. It's always been a useful idiot. So that was probably a foregone conclusion. Like I said in my other podcasts, Russia was always going to win. I don't know why this happened. I mean, if the West wanted Ukrainian soil for its breadbasket, leaving well enough alone and being friendly across the border, and having sort of like what would have been smart with Ukraine is to have the same sort of relationship of protection with Ukraine that America has with Taiwan. And there's plenty of opportunities to have created a Ukraine that was so prickly. They call it the whatever the kind of animal that has all the spines. That's what they call the strategy, which is you go ahead and you never claim Taiwan as an officially guarded property of NATO or the EU, but you never don't, right? There's nothing formal, but everybody knows. Nobody talks about it, but they always sort of say that Taiwan is a an essential relationship, and that if anything were to happen with Taiwan, whoa, don't even make fun of that. It's not even a joke. So that would have been the smart thing. And that was sort of the thing that happened with Ukraine for 30 years, right? It was the unspoken spoken. They had as much sovereignty as you would expect from being the hot babe between two very ardent courtiers, between two ardent, what are the people who tried to claim a beautiful woman in the South? So the West and the East were fighting for the marriage with her, and she was able to keep extremely well autonomous, very single, had a level of sovereignty, had that going for 30 years. Russia really didn't want a wife, but didn't want to give up its privilege with its mistress either. And all the ladies were like, put a ring on it. And nobody wanted to put a ring on it because, like, Ukraine's body count is so high. Jesus, the sluttiest country in all of Europe, man. It's just corrupt. It's fucked up. All of its elections are about as democratic as America's or Russia's elections. Everybody is on the grift. Everybody's stealing money. All the money that is given by development organizations goes into the pockets of people who have homes in London and in Geneva and Zurich and Malta. And it was like best you can do with Ukraine is to be Ukraine's sugar daddy. And there was plenty, like if Ukraine didn't go ahead and get engaged to the EU or NATO, yeah, fucking John McCain, man. Fucking I hate that guy. If America wasn't so greedy, and we're openly greedy and we're hostily greedy, if America weren't so greedy, it could be a DMZ of its own accord, and it could receive and sell. It could be that rare Switzerland on the East that can gladly do business with Russia and America both. And secondly, could have the support of both countries, can have a de facto protection, can also not have the responsibility if the West ever got caught in a NATO snag, it wouldn't be drawn in. America's so greedy, man. Like, so anyway, it's not the same thing with regards to Israel. You know me, I don't give a fuck about ethnicity. I give zero fucks about ethnicity. I cared about ethnicity not at all. My fucking parents were like, your dad is Hungarian and Czech, and your mom is Irish and English, and there's some German in there. And I didn't give a fuck. I grew up in Hawaii. Everybody was so interested in their stupid ethnicity in Hawaii that it just became boring. It was like basically being so proud of having, brown eyes or blue eyes or green eyes. So stupid. So I don't believe ethnic cleansing is a fucking thing, right? I feel like it's murder. I feel like it's mass murder. I don't fucking think ethnicity is a protected anything. Like, I don't like murder. I don't like mass killing. I don't like raising people into the ground, but it shouldn't be more bad if you're a protected species or a protected religion or a protected class or a protected gender or a protected anything. And I say protected species because people, like, they treat certain ethnicities as if they were some sort of bald eagle or some sort of, like, platypus or ivory-billed woodpecker. I don't care about ancestors. I don't care about ancestral land. I don't care about holy land. I don't care about churches. I don't care about graveyards. I don't care about consecration. I don't care about historical this or historical that. I don't care if you have bones of your people in a space. I don't care about any of that stuff. I care about live people and dead people. And you can't fool me into believing that your particular almost extinct brand of ideology, like, let it fucking go extinct. If your ideology is so weak that it needs life support, then fucking just stop. So that's not going to be a very popular point of view. Maybe I'm like the ultimate humanist, where I think, like, we're just mammals, man. We're just humans, man. I don't give a fuck about your ethnicity or your race or your gender or your sexuality. I care that you're a person, and I love that you're a person, and I believe that as a person you deserve to live the best life you can. But you don't get to live your life by making someone else's life suck more. So anyway, I'm off to Lion Hall to attend a meetup of my favorite podcast in the universe. I won't wait. Called the No Agenda Show. And we're having a meetup at Lion Hall, and it starts at 5, and I don't know what time it is. It's 4:48 or 16:48 as I know it. And I'm finally warming up, so I hate the world a little bit less. And I got my hands stuck in my pants, which I'm sure is a really attractive thing. I don't know where the fuck I am, but I'm just going to keep on walking till I get there. The map that said the way to get there didn't make a lot of sense, but I know where it is. I just need to find a way there without freezing to death or being hit by a car. So wait. I do have my Nike running shoes waiting for me. They were delivered into what's called the concierge locker, the Nike Pegasus 40s with the English branding. $66 US, brand new. For me, wearing a sports branded shoe, which never sell well, by the way. They always end up almost giving them away because nobody wants to fucking buy them. But I keep my nose in whenever I find them, and they're like under $70 delivered, like I'm on it. $66 for a brand new pair of Nike Pegasus 40s, size 14, pretty good. So anyway, I think that this whole game of what proportion of a particular oppressed and very protected species of humans, there's actually a competition to see who is more or less of an ethnic cleanser, right? So it's the big thing, right? Is who's ethnic cleansing who more or less effectively in a more or less grotesque way? And who has more or less compassion for which protected, limited, only how many million left in the entire world people? I mean, mind you, Palestinians are openly call themselves Arabs, right? So there's plenty of Arabs in the world, right? So you're like, I'm an Arab. Oh, I gotcha. There's plenty of you. This isn't ethnic cleansing. Oh, no, but I'm Palestinian. Oh, okay. You're Palestinian. You're not just Arab or another plentiful ethnic group in the region, because that would hurt your competition with the right of Jews to exist in the world, because there's definitely fewer Jews in the entire world than there are people who self-identify as Arabs. So it's going to be a constant struggle as to who wins, who is the biggest victim, and who is the most decimated, and who has the most dead babies, and who can seem less like the asshole, and who can seem more like the poor little baby, who can become the biggest manifestation of the hungry baby with the distended belly and the flies on the eyes, who can manifest the best optics of death and destruction and oppression and murder and who is the biggest beast? Who's the biggest monster? Who takes advantage of the first world advantages of wealth and oppression and uses first world fifth generation weaponry against a people who are barely evolved since the 1500s. Oh, yeah. Hearts and minds, baby. Hearts and minds, right? Ah, it's a race to the bottom. And yet still, as everybody in college campuses is calling everybody else Nazis and being anti-Semitic and calling everybody Nazis back and forth, people still have enough of an appetite to mock and attack Trump for using the word vermin. And, you know, I agree with everybody else that using the word vermin is the least offensive thing that's been said since October 7th. So that's the beautiful thing. No matter how fucked up the world seems and no matter how many tens of thousands of people are going to die in the next 28 days, and the possibility in the last 2 years of nuclear annihilation, don't forget, Israel is a nuclear state. They don't talk about it, but they are. And also, Iran is probably a nuclear state, though nobody wants to talk about that. It's going to be really interesting to see how this all shakes out and how, no matter how bad this gets with regards to people in Gaza, the West Bank, in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, no matter how bad this all gets, no matter how bad October 7th is or the 11 to 15,000 dead Palestinians who litter the ground, half of which are under 15. January 6th will still be the worst thing ever to happen in the entire world ever. And Trump, were he to be elected in 2024, would very literally end the world. Like, very literally, if Trump becomes president in 2024, all the ice will melt, all the flooding will happen, the spin of the earth will catastrophically pole switch. The core of the earth will stop rotating. There will be nuclear war. There will be plagues. There will be frogs from the sky. Jesus and the Antichrist will fight doing a dance battle. What else? All the terrible things are bound to happen. So don't let him in there, man, because the climate will collapse. There will be a population collapse. There will never be another abortion. By the way, the reason why Gaza has so many babies for all the baby killings is because you can be jailed or killed or stoned if you are like into abortion or into terminating a pregnancy or doing anything fun like that. So, and yeah, it's probably true that if you have an alternate lifestyle, people will, because they can't afford helicopters, they will push you off buildings and kill you that way. So I'm really amazed by this Schrodinger's wokeness, because if Palestine were populated by MAGA Republicans who had the same pro-life stance, it would be bomb, baby, bomb. So I think it's very funny. I guess it's an amazing time. I mean, I just can't see it. I don't have my heartstrings being pinged by anybody. Like, personally, I'm a Zionist, so I know what Israel's capable of, and they will stop at nothing. They have a fierce self-righteousness that will never be sated. They will wait until something else happens. Maybe, I don't know what, October 7th didn't do what they wanted it to. Like, it didn't give them enough breathing room to exact the kind of vengeance that they probably wanted in that space of time. They didn't realize how quick to the barricades the revolutionaries would be in support of the Palestinians. So, I don't know. Like, they want to be the winners. If there's a war between who gets that land, Israel has never wanted a two-state solution. Palestine has never wanted a two-state solution. Israel wants dominion over the land, and Palestine wants a They want the whole homeland from the river to the sea. So this is a zero-sum game we're playing here. There are nukes. Poor Volodymyr Zelensky, who is a member of the tribe, doesn't know what to do because he doesn't like the fact that the homeland of his people are more interesting to modern American sensibilities than the land of Holomidir. Holomidir. It's not the fucking name of the region or the famine. Holomidir? Anyway, I don't know. So, hey, this is going to be one hell of a fun podcast to listen to, I'm sure. And I have to take a bio break, even though I'm in the middle of nowhere. So on that note, I'm going to stop the podcast. This was, I think, season 6, episode 15 of The Chris Abraham Show, and I'll talk to you soon. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.